This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Good evening, I'm Greg Butcher, bringing you USA Today Sports here on Radio Reading Services, February 7th, 2024. Thank you for tuning in. Gibby Douglas to return to gymnastics competition for first time in 8 years. Nancy Armour, USA Today. Gibby Douglas plans to compete for the first time in almost 8 years later this month. The 2012 Olympic all-around champion confirmed Tuesday that she will compete at Winter Cup, which is February 24th in Louisville, Kentucky. This is the first of several meetings Douglas will have to do if she's to make it to the Paris Olympics. Quote, I'm super excited to get back out there, Douglas said during an interview on NBC News Now. I would love to go back out there and represent the USA just one more time, end quote. Douglas is a three-time Olympic gold medalist in addition to her all-around title, the first by a black gymnast. She and the Fierce Five won the team gold in London. After taking a break, Douglas returned to the sport ahead of the Rio Olympics and was part of the team that won gold in the 2016 Games. Though Douglas never officially retired, another return seemed unlikely as the years passed, but rumors began circulating in 2022 that she had resumed training, and Douglas confirmed it last July with an Instagram post. She wanted to find the joy again for the sport that I absolutely love doing, she wrote, and indicated her goal was to compete in Paris. Quote, I didn't want to end the sport how I did it in 2016. Douglas, who was subjected to relentless personal attacks in both London and Rio, said Tuesday. I wanted to take a step back and work on myself and work on my mental state, she added. I love pushing myself every single day, and I love the sport, so I never wanted to walk away on a bad day. I really want to make sure I put in my all and end on a good note, end quote. Douglas turned 28 on December 31st and would be the oldest U.S. woman gymnast to compete at an Olympics since a youth movement swept the sports in the 1970s. But she said her body is holding up well, though she spends a little bit more time on uneven bars, her signature events she is trained to do, the all-around. After Winter Cup, Douglas says she hopes to do a few more assignments before the U.S. Classic in May. That meet serves as a qualifier for the national championships, which are May 30th through June 2 in Fort Worth, Texas. The Olympic trials are June 27th through the 30th in Minneapolis. Quote, I'm feeling excited, nervous, grateful, a little bit timid, but I think that's normal. It's been such a long time, Douglas said. I'm excited to get back out there, be with everyone, get my feet wet a little bit after 8 years out, and I think I'll be good to go, end quote. Edmonton Oilers' win streak ends at 16 games after a loss to Vegas Golden Knights, Associated Press. Las Vegas, Associated Press. Chandler Stephenson scored the go-ahead goal. Aiden Hill stopped 30 shots, and the Vegas Golden Knights brought an end to the Edmonton Oilers' 16-game winning streak with a 3-1 victory on Tuesday night. Edmonton was looking to tie the 1992-93 Pittsburgh Penguins for the longest NHL win streak. Instead, with the game tied 1-1 after two periods, Stephenson took a pass from Jonathan Marchessault and ripped a shot from the center to the left circle to beat Edmonton goalie Stuart Skinner blocker side to put the Golden Knights in front by a goal less than 2 minutes into the third period. From there, Hill was spectacular in keeping the Oilers at bay while keeping the crowd energized until a final horn. Hill came in leading the NHL in goals against average 1.94 and save percentage 0.936. Made the save of the night when he stymied Leon Draisaitl on a backdoor one-timer late in the third period. Nick Roy and William Karlsson also scored for the Golden Knights. Connor McDavid scored for the Oilers. Skinner made 23 saves. The Oilers, who opened the season 3-9-1 before firing coach Jay Woodcroft on November 12th, were just 13-15-1 before their win streak started. Edmonton hasn't lost a game since December 19th and has improved its record to 29-16-1. The Oilers have an NHL best 26-7-0 record since Chris Knobloch's first game as bench boss on November 13th. Edmonton wasn't deterred by committing the first penalty game after Vincent Desharnais' poke check forced a turnover to spring a 2-on-0 rush. McDavid took a pass from Draisaitl and beat Hill to give the Oilers a 1-0 lead in the shorthanded goal. It was McDavid's 10th goal and 27th point during the Oilers' 17-game run. Vegas tied the game when Roy gathered a rebound from the crease, worked the puck to his backhand, and snapped it past Skinner for his 10th goal of the season. Carlson's empty net goal with 34 seconds left iced the game for Vegas. Kadarius Toney could be a Super Bowl-sized headache for Chiefs as controversy continues. Jarrett Bell, USA Today, Las Vegas. This might be the week when Kadarius Toney finally returns to the lineup for the Kansas City Chiefs. Or maybe not. The status of the controversy wide receiver is one of the big mysteries on the ramp up to the Super Bowl 58, which is even more compelling when considering that what went down during the weekend of the AFC Championship game is Toney missed his sixth consecutive game and seemingly blasted the Chiefs during a social media rant. Is he back this week? We'll see, Chiefs coach Andy Reid said. We'll see how it goes. You'd think that Andy Reid wants to employ all the firepower that he can as the Chiefs try to become the first repeat Super Bowl champion in nearly two decades. When Toney's at his best, he's a weapon. It's demonstrated a year ago with a 65-yard punt return that is the longest in Super Bowl history. But it's deeper than that. Toney, scratched from the lineup officially because of injuries, has been a full participant in practices in recent days, but hasn't played since mid-December, a victory at New England in Week 15. That's when he added to a series of glaring mishaps by bobbling a perfectly thrown pass that popped into the hands of a Patriots linebacker for an interception. The miscue left star quarterback Patrick Mahomes fuming on the bench a week after Toney's offside penalty wiped out a stunning 49-yard go-ahead touchdown with just over a minute to play in a loss against the Buffalo Bills. It's not a stretch to think that injuries weren't the only reason Toney hasn't been active. Before the AFC title game, the Chiefs listed him out due to a hip injury and personal reasons, which was later revealed to be the birth of his daughter. His absence was one thing. His reaction to the latest case took it all up a few notches, Toney said during a profanity-laced audio recording posted on Instagram the morning of the championship game, that he wasn't injured and implied that the Chiefs were not truthful with their injury designation. So, of course, Toney has engaged in some damage control as the big game approaches. He told the NFL Network on Monday night that his recording got like a mixed message behind it, I guess you could say. He went on to suggest that footage was chopped up to distort his message. His anger, he contended, was directed at fans of his former team, the New York Giants, who had posted comments on his Instagram page. Quote, I never attacked the Chiefs, he maintained. Never said anything about the Chiefs. I just wanted to get my message across as far as my injury, but I shouldn't have done that at the end of the day. I'm a man. I can accept my mistakes just like I can accept my wins, but I'm just moving past it right now. We're heading out. We're just trying to win, end quote. Asked whether the rant changed the way he is viewed inside the Chiefs organization, he offered no assurances. Quote, at the end of the day, I'm not a fortune teller, Toney told Newsday. I don't know, end quote. Regardless, it's fair to wonder whether Toney's case lingers as a distraction. Quote, he's not a distraction, Reid flatly stated to USA Today Sports. That hasn't been a problem, end quote. That's about what you'd expect to hear from Reid, whose job involves minimizing distractions, especially this week. From over here, it seems like Toney is a shoe-in to make anybody's, quote, distraction watch list, end quote. That's not to suggest that Toney is a candidate to get distracted by the temptations of Las Vegas, which, by the way, has the buffer of a 25-mile distance between the hotels where the Chiefs and the 49ers are headquartered and the Strip, but rather to pay attention if he's idled again with a Super Bowl on the line. Considering that Toney hasn't suited up in a game for nearly 2 months and the diatribe was less than 2 weeks ago, another subplot could formulate if the big play artist is benched again. And if it happens this time, it likely won't be because of an injury, as the Chiefs went into practices this week expecting that Tony was healthy enough to fully participate. Quote, I think he's good, Chiefs receiver Mercole Hardman told USA Today Sports. When he's in the building, he works hard and does what he has to do. Everything after that, it is what it is, end quote. If Tony doesn't play this time, it might be a simpler matter of trust given Tony's miscues this season, which included too many drop passes. The Chiefs might not want to risk putting a championship into hands that have been so shaky. Sure, a year ago, Tony was one of the Super Bowl heroes minutes after he caught a 5-yard go-ahead touchdown early in the fourth quarter against the Eagles. Tony ripped off a record punt return that set up another touchdown. The potential for such an explosive play was one of the reasons the Chiefs obtained the former first-rounder in a trade with the Giants in 2022, despite his inconsistent production and disagreements with the team regarding injuries. But the game-swinging Super Bowl play seems like a long time ago, given what has happened since. Tony is a mystery now, with a chance to redeem himself on the big stage or not. Chiefs receivers pushed past brutal errors to help guide Super Bowl return. Chris Bambaca, USA Today. The bait to declare this season a full circle success story dangled in front of Marquez Valdez-Scantling. The Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver refused to take it. In Week 11, he was the GOAT against the Eagles in a rematch of Super Bowl 57. 2 months later, his diving catch on third down against Baltimore Ravens sealed the AFC title for the Chiefs and sent them to Super Bowl 58 against the 49ers. Valdez Scantling and the Chiefs receiver room had to compartmentalize the lowlights of the season, which began with Kadarius Toney's series of drops in the opening loss to the Lions, and later included a 2-4 stretch that culminated with a loss to the Las Vegas Raiders, on Christmas Day to earn a chance to repeat as champions. After all, Valdez-Scantling reminded reporters on Monday and Tuesday the group is one season removed from being the league's number one offense and helping quarterback Patrick Mahomes win his second MVP. Mahomes himself and his will to win had plenty to do with getting the Chiefs near the mountaintop once again. How Valdez-Scantling shook off brutal drop versus Eagles. A drop against the Eagles came with less than 2 minutes left and the Chiefs trailing by four. Mahomes uncorked a 55-yard bomb that hit Valdez-Scantling in the stride. The receiver couldn't hang on to the ball through the rain that night, and the Chiefs lost 21-17. Looking back on the play, Valdez-Scantling downplayed the gaffe. Quote, it's not going to affect my career in any way, shape, or form, he said. It certainly didn't when Mahomes called his number against the Ravens on a 3rd-and-9 that iced the game. Quote, it was just another play to be made, a routine play that we practiced hundreds and hundreds of times, Valdez-Scantling said. That Demeters has endeared MVS to teammates. Quote, to say himself and just always continue to roll, what more can you ask from a vet? Receiver Richie James told USA Today Sports he'd been doing this a long time, end quote. Rookie Rashee Rice has emerged as Mahomes' go-to option at wide receiver while tight end Travis Kelce is typically the top choice when not covered by two or three defenders. Rice provides the Chiefs with a capable route runner in the intermediate game and someone who can break an explosive play. Valdez-Scantling, a sixth-year pro, has become a mentor to Rice through his words, such as advice on how to take care of his body as an NFL player and his actions. Quote, without even having to say anything to me, he taught me how to face adversity. Keep your head up, come to work every day, said Rice, who led the team in touchdown catches 7 and finished 2nd behind Kelce on the team in catches 79 and receiving yards 938. The way Valdez-Scantling responded to the drop against the Eagles also impressed Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. Quote, MVS has done a really nice job, Reid said. He had a couple of big drops early in the season. He just kept working. He's mentally tough. He's smart. He understands the offense. He just pounded through it, and he worked at it, end quote. Reid added at one point, and the quarterback maintained confidence in him and has kept using him, end quote. the Mahomes Factor Chiefs center, Creed Humphrey, has worked with Mahomes for three seasons now, and he likes to think they have a solid rapport and that he knows number 15 pretty well. Quote, just his competitiveness, his hunger to win, things like that, Humphrey told USA Today Sports. I think it's unmatched around the league. End quote. For former Chiefs offensive lineman Michelle Schwartz, this stretch run has provided Mahomes with a platform to declare, I am this good. Quote, Pat blends that Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady level of competitiveness with cool, with Joe Montana cool. That's something that's rare, Schwartz told the This Is Football podcast. From the outside, Schwartz said, Mahomes doesn't seem like the type of superstar who would internalize slights and criticisms toward him or his teammates and dissolve them into fuel. Quote, he's cool as a cucumber in every single game he's going to treat the same, Schwartz said. It's not like he needs to see that to succeed, end quote. The budding connection with Rice also helped salvage Kansas City's passing attack. Quote, it's hard, this offense, to learn, Mahomes said. Reed's system calls for receivers to run certain routes, certain ways, depending on man coverage and zone coverage. Mahomes hasn't seen Rice make the same mistake twice. Quote, and that's why his role is getting bigger and bigger, Mahomes said. Valdez Scantling said Mahomes found different ways to motivate teammates this past year. Quote, he's just a great leader, the receiver said. This adjustment for Chiefs wideouts opened up passing game. Catching passes from the best quarterback of his generation didn't hurt when it came to Valdez Scantling and the rest of the receiver room in finding their footing. One particular adjustment helped streamline everything for the operation, limiting substitutions. Quote, just trying to figure out ways to get guys on the field and keep guys on the field instead of in for a play, out for a play, Valdez Scantling said. Rice agreed that finding ways to keep receivers on the field just so we could stay in rhythm was beneficial. Quote, you definitely feel the shift. We've always had the same energy, James said. But you definitely see it. We're picking it up a bit more. Come on now, we're rolling now, end quote. Those outside the room have noticed. Quote, I think they're playing their best ball right now, Humphrey said, and it's been fun to see. Sports streaming deal with ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers. Discovery, what it means for viewers. A huge new sports streaming service is scheduled to launch this fall with content from all the major sports, but what does it mean for viewers? Brent Schrotenbar, USA Today. Three of the top television companies in America, American Sports, delivered a bombshell announcement Tuesday that said they were forming a joint all-in-one streaming service that will provide sports content from all major pro sports leagues, plus college football, college basketball, and more. But what does that mean to the average sports viewer? ESPN, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery shared only some details of their agreement Tuesday to gain a better understanding of it. Beyond that, USA Today Sports contacted sports business and legal experts about where this is headed and what it might cost and how it will affect viewing habits. Quote, it's certainly surprising, said Neil Pilson, former president of CBS Sports. He also called it a potential watershed moment. Excuse me. The companies otherwise are competitors and with each other for viewers, advertising revenue and sports media rights, but in this case, are joining to form a new streaming app scheduled to launch this fall with each company owning one-third of it. What would it include? The joint venture would be offered directly to consumers and would include ESPN Plus, plus access to 14 linear networks, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, SECN, ACCN, ESP News, ABC, Fox, FS1, FS2, the Big Ten Network, TNT, TBS, and True TV. What you get on these channels would be available on this app. That includes the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NBA, WNBA, NHL, NCAA basketball tournament games, and the PGA Tour commercials would be included too. Quote, to me, this goes a long way in solving the sports dilemma that many viewers have, former Fox News Network's president Bob Thompson told USA Today Sports. They would like to cut the cord to cable television, but if you are a sports fan, it's very, very difficult to do and get all of what you want. This goes a long way to remedying that situation, end quote. How much would streaming cost to viewers is to be determined, but Thompson predicted it would cost more than $40. The math would have worked for three companies that are paying huge fees to sports leagues for the rights to show this content. For example, ESPN, Fox, NBC, CBS, and Amazon are scheduled to pay the NFL more than $100 billion combined through 2033 for the rights to broadcast NFL games on their networks. It would also have to take into account how the introduction of this streaming service would spur more viewers to ditch cable television, which has been a huge source of revenue for companies such as ESPN, the most expensive channel on cable television. Last year, ESPN took in more than $9 per subscriber from cable television, according to S&P Global Market Intelligence. Why are they doing this? Much of the media business in general has struggled to monetize online content as consumers have cut the cord from expensive traditional cable television bundles and instead turned to a wide and fractured array of streaming services online. Disney, which owns ESPN, has been seeking a strategic partner for ESPN to help it navigate these choppy waters as its lucrative cable TV revenue decreases. Quote, they're agreeing with the prediction that the cable audience is going to continue to shrink, Pilsen said. By joining together online, they're not competing against each other for subscribers, instead are sharing them. This is the added benefit of creating a streaming service that has all of this content on one app instead of forcing viewers to subscribe to multiple services and toggle between them online. So is this just another cable TV style bundle? To a certain extent, yes, a subscriber will pay for a bundle of content from multiple channels, but it's not like the traditional cable TV bundle in which subscribers were paying for dozens of channels they didn't ask for and never watched. This is a skinnier bundle only for sports. Subscribers would also have the ability to bundle the product, including with streaming services Disney Plus, Hulu, and or Max, according to the announcement. All of that could make it more attractive for viewers who pay big bills each month for cable TV. Quote, it could hasten the demise of cable and satellite bundle now that there is a robust sports option in the streaming world, Thompson said. Is this even legal? That's up to the federal government to decide. Does it violate antitrust laws that prohibit monopolies and anti-competitive conduct? In this case, competitors are joining to sell their content together under one venture. Antitrust regulators would have to look at its structure and decide whether to intervene to protect American consumers and taxpayers. Regulators tend to get nervous when competitors enter deals like this. But antitrust law has always had a soft spot for sports, said Robin Feldman, professor at the University of California Law, San Francisco. Even if antitrust laws are implicated, regulatory agencies will likely try to factor in consumer interests in their decision. In this case, a new sports streaming platform could make life easier for the average sports fan. Well, consumers have been complaining about how difficult it is to watch various types of sports programs or even figure out how to watch them, Feldman told USA Today Sports. I know my family will be thrilled, end quote. The announcement also noted that the formation of this new pay service is subject to the negotiation of the definitive agreements amongst the parties. Who is left out? NBC, Universal, CBS, and their sports properties are not included, among others. So this new app won't include everything a sports fan might want to see. NBC is paying for rights to the Olympics through 2032 and NFL games on Sunday Night Football through 2033. CBS also has rights to NFL games through 2033, and this year will start broadcasting up to 5 Big Ten Conference football games. The new streaming app will likely not include men's basketball Final Four games on CBS, which alternates coverage of those games each year with TBS through 2032. What about linear TV? While revenue from cable or linear TV has been shrinking, it's still a big part of the business for these companies. The NFL also likes being on linear television to maximize its viewership. That's why Pilsen questioned whether the NFL and other sports leagues might have concern about a streaming service that could accelerate the abandonment of linear or broadcast TV in favor of streaming. The NFL didn't immediately return a message seeking comment, but NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said this week he didn't envision a streaming-only Super Bowl happening during his tenure. Quote, one of the secrets of our success is we are really committed to broadcast television, he said. On Tuesday, the three companies announced a deal that raises questions about their own commitment to linear TV. Quote, they're placing their bet and business future on viewers who are going to take all of their programming from the streaming services, Pilsen said. Jose Altuve signs five-year, $125 million contract extension with the Astros. Bob Nightingale, USA Today. The Houston Astros made sure Jose Altuve will spend the rest of his career in the Astros uniform, signing him to a five-year, $125 million contract extension. On Tuesday, two people with direct knowledge of the contract told USA Today Sports. They spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly. The Astros announced that Altuve received a five-year deal but did not divulge the details of the contract. He will receive a $15 million signing bonus this season and $30 million the first 3 years and $10 million the final 2 years. Altuve, who was in the final year of a seven-year, $163.5 million contract and would be eligible to become a free agent after the 2024 season, is now set to become the first second baseman in history to amass $300 million in his career. Altuve, an eight-time All-Star, three-time batting champion, and 2017 AL MVP, is spending his 13th year with the Astros this season, leading them to four pennants and two World Series titles. He has the highest batting average in franchise history, 307, and ranks third in hits, 2,047, doubles, 400, runs, 1,062, and stolen bases, 293, and is fifth in homers with 208. Altuve, who made his major league debut in 2011, turns 34 in May, now will be playing with the Astros until the age of 39. The Astros will have a press conference on Wednesday at Minute Maid Park to make the formal announcement of Altuve's contract extension. NBA slam dunk contest. Jaylen Brown expected to participate per report. Sydney Henderson, USA Today. Boston Celtics star Jaylen Brown will try his luck at the 2024 NBA All-Star Slam Dunk Contest, according to a report. Brown likely will participate in the dunk festivities in the 2024 All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis, Indiana, according to Shams Charania of the Athletic, before the three-time All-Star suits up for Sunday's marquee game as an Eastern Conference reserve. Teammate Jason Tatum was named a starter for the East. Brown's participation would mark the first time an All-Star has participated in the dunk contest since Victor Oladipo in 2018. Brown signed a five-year, $304 million Supermax contract extension with the Celtics this offseason. The field will be rounded out by the reigning slam dunk champion Mac McClung of the G League's Osceola Magic, the Miami Heat's Jamie Jacquez Jr., the New York Knicks' Jacob Toppin. Toppin has his own connection to the slam dunk contest. His older brother, Indiana Pacers Obi Toppin, was the runner-up in 2021 and won the following season. The slam dunk contest, the final event on All-Star Saturday night, will be held at Lucas Oil Stadium, home of the NFL's Indianapolis Colts, and will take place on state-of-the-art LED court erected in the football stadium. Thank you so much for tuning in on USA Today Sports Reading on Radio Reading Services. Our time is finished for today. I'll be back same time, same channel next week with USA Today Sports. And I hope you tune in then. Your week is enjoyable. And healthy.